haven't spoken about this in a long time. Pinchas being Eliyahu Hanavi. Pinchas and the connection with him and Eliyahu Hanavi. There's a lot to talk about with this. So we start off with, like, Dabar Hashem Moshe Lehim, Hashem spoke to Moshe saying, Pinchas ben Elazar ben Aaron HaKohen, Pinchas son of Elazar, son of Aaron HaKohen, Heshuvitz Kamazim El B'nai Yisrael, he returned my wrath, took away my wrath, Mel B'nai Yisrael from B'nai Yisrael, Bikana was Kinasi B'Zol from when I took my vengeance against them. I did not destroy B'nai Yisrael in my anger, L'chein Emor, therefore it should be said, that I give to him my verse of peace, that I'm going to give him my verse of peace. Now it's strange, the word Emor, the reference to the word Emor over here, it seems to be that someone has to say this over to other people. Moshe Rabbeinu himself had to go to Pinchas and tell him what his reward was going to be, how he was going to be rewarded. The Nitziv brings a mashal. He actually brings it from his son-in-law, but he brings a mashal to understand why Pinchas had to be told his reward by Moshe Rabbeinu. Why did Moshe have to tell it to him?
Well,
I guess that Kadosh Baruch Hu could speak to him directly, or Aaron could tell him his grandfather, or Elazar actually, because Aaron has passed away. But Elazar would tell him his father. Somebody else could have told him. Why specifically Moshe? Says the Nitziv a mashal. A general is in dire straits in battle. It's a really hard battle, and he has absolutely no idea where to turn. He doesn't know how he's going to win this battle. There's so many people coming against him in all different ways. There's nothing that he remembers. He's sitting there trying to figure out, what can I do? He can't think of anything. One insignificant soldier calls out to him and tells him, he brings to his attention a certain tactic that the general himself had taught him earlier that the general forgot. And he said, if we do this tactic, we're going to be able to win this war. And they won against all odds. They went against all odds, and everything was all good. The general deserves a demotion for not being able to figure out what he was supposed to do at that time. He doesn't have to not remain a general. He can remain a general. But in the end of the day, he's not the person that everybody thought he was going to be. He didn't do what he was supposed to do. The soldier deserves an ultimate reward. He saved all the people, the entire army, from sure destruction. That's what you should have. So the king commanded the general to give the reward to the soldier, a reward that the general himself always wanted to have, a reward that the general himself never attained. Give that reward over to the soldier. That shows the soldier that he deserves a ton of honor getting it from the general, and it's a demotion to the general that he has to give over to that soldier itself. That's what Moshe Rabbeinu did. He gave the kahuna, which is something he always wanted, over to Pinchas. And not just the kahuna. He gave the bris of kunas olam, that him and his children and his grandchildren, there would be kohanim and kohanim gedolim forever and ever. That bris that was given over to Pinchas is something that Moshe Rabbeinu himself wanted. That's what the general had to give over to the soldier when Pinchas remembered Kanoyin Poginbo, that when Zimri and Cosby were together, that one has to go ahead and strike them while he's together with her. That's the concept of what was going on in the beginning of the parasha. Now the Imre Kodesh and the Maharil, both Chassidus Sfarim, right? The Imre Kodesh is the Stralitzker Rebbe. The Maharil, I don't really know much about him. It's not the Maharal. It's not the Maharal Diskin. The Maharil, I really don't know much about him. But they both say that by the name of Pinchas ben Elazar ben Aaron HaKohen, right over here, the trup is Kadmo Diazlo Munach Revi'i. Very few times do you see drushos based on trup. The Gra is very into it. The Gra does it at least 6 or 7 times that I've seen in his Sfarim. And there are other people that get into it once in a while, but barely ever do you see a specific drusha based on the trup of the pasuk itself. Here you have Kadma V'Azla Munach Revi'i. Here's where we learn, says both the Imre Kodesh and the Maharil, that Pinchas was Eliyahu, because he was able to get up and go. Kadam V'Azal means he got up and he went. Where did he go? He went to B'nai Yisrael, and by doing that and by using his Zrizus to go to B'nai Yisrael, Munach Revi'i, 4 neshamos rested within his body. Who are the neshamos? Well, he's known as Pinchas ben Elazar ben Aaron HaKohen. Who was Ben Aaron HaKohen who could have gone into Pinchas? The sons of Aaron HaKohen that already died, Nadav and Abihu. When Pinchas was, I don't know how this works exactly, somehow he had a neshama that was entered inside his body. He might have died, according to Pirkei Rabbi Eliezer, when he did the Maisa, he died out of fright. And when he died, he was given Tchias HaMeisim. And in that Tchias HaMeisim, Nadav, Avihu, Pinchas' neshama, and then finally Eliyahu Hanavi's neshama, all came in at once and joined into Pinchas. So Munach Revi, he was placed with four neshamos inside his body. That's what ended up happening. Now this idea of Pinchas being Eliezer, Eliyahu Navi, is mentioned by Pirkei de Rabbi Eliezer and Perek Mem Zayin. It's also mentioned in the Zohar, Chelek Beis, Chuf Tzad Yom Aleph. I didn't look that one up, so I'm sorry. And in Rashi, and Bava Metzia, Chuf Yud Dalid Amud Beis. Remember it? Chuf Yud Dalid Amud Beis. You were about to say it.
This is the same one a couple weeks ago.
Oh, that's right. I did. It's the exact same one. Chuf Yud Dalid Amud Beis. It's really amazing. It's absolutely amazing. It's also mentioned in other places. Pirkei de Rabbi Eliezer mentions it earlier on Perek Chuf Zayin. He also, the Zohar mentions it in two other places. There's a Targum Yonas and Meduzio later on in Pasuk Yud Beis that is Mashmeit. It is mentioned in other places. The Rishonim go through a whole slew of different Rishonim. Tosfos mentions it. Sforno sort of mentions it. It's brought down by the Ibn Ezra. The Ibn Ezra knocks it out. He said there's no way that Pinchas is Eliyahu Hanavi. It's a big machlokis among the Rishonim what exactly it is, but we have midrashic sources that Pinchas was Eliyahu Hanavi, no less than Yonas and Menuzio, a Tana himself, who is a Talmud of Hillel Zaken, if it was written by Yonas and Menuzio, who go ahead. In fact, the words up above, Pinchas ben Elazar ben Aaron HaKohen, is a gematria of 956. Gotta be quick on this one. 956. Same gematria as Eliyahu Hanavi Hatishbi Hagiladi. Eliyahu Hanavi Hatishbi Hagiladi, which is not bad. That's really a good one. The only problem is you do have to add on four words. It is off by four. So you can do the gematria yourself. I think it's off. It's 952 altogether. Eliyahu Hanavi Hatishbi Hagiladi. It's off by four. Four words. Eliyahu Hanavi Hatishbi Hagiladi. So it works out well, and then you have it. But if you get up to 956 in gematria, you can go ahead and be off by a couple. I'll let you be off by a couple when it comes to that. But yeah.
He was born in Egypt, not in Gilad.
Well, that's true also. Well, we have to know about why he's known as Giladi. That comes from other writings. It's brought down by the Paris Kunas Olam, I believe, the Sefer, and it's brought in the Pardes Yosef, that the reason why is Eliyahu Navi known as Hagiladi? Where does that come from?
He came from, he lived in Israel.
Question where he's from? Gilad? He didn't live outside of Eretz Yisrael. Gilad is outside of Eretz Yisrael among Og Melech HaBashan. That's where Gilad was. That's where Menashe was. The other half of Menashe was in Gilad. So that's what it's supposed to be. Did he live outside of Eretz Yisrael? There were times where he lived outside of Eretz Yisrael when he was hiding in the caves. Why is he known as Hagiladi? Because he was involved in Pilegesh Begiva. Pilegesh Begiva, which happened within, I don't know if it's exactly this place, but the war happened in the area called the Gilad. And thus he's known as Giladi because that's where Pinchas got involved in Pilegesh Begiva. So Pinchas and Eliyahu are the same. That's why Eliyahu was known as Eliyahu Giladi. That's what he's brought down there. He himself didn't do anything. He forewarned Bnei Yisrael that they have to ask the Urim V'Tumim correctly. That's what he ended up telling the people. And in the end, they did ask it correctly and everything was all good. But then, I don't understand something. The way that everybody words it. The Tanya of Eliyahu, the Pirkei de Rabbi Eliezer, the way Tosfos words it. Everybody says, they say, Pinchas hu Eliyahu. Pinchas is Eliyahu. But it should be the exact opposite. Who was born first? Pinchas was born way before Eliyahu Hanavi. So it should be the opposite. It should be Eliyahu hu Pinchas. Eliyahu Hanavi is Pinchas. The exact opposite way. Why is it saying that Pinchas is Eliyahu when Eliyahu came later on? It shouldn't be that way. Says the Kedushas Levi, Rav Levi Yitzmi Berditchit. Since Pinchas died, lost his neshama, Eliyahu Hanavi's neshama came first, and then came Pinchas' neshama into his body. Therefore, it's Eliyahu hu Pinchas. That's the concept, or I should say, Pinchas hu Eliyahu. Pinchas is the Eliyahu Hanavi that already came into his body. That's the way that we call him, and that's why it's called that. So now, aside from that, he was given two rewards. He's given two rewards by a Kadosh Baruch Hu. He's given, Hineni Nosin Lo, is Bris Yishalom. I'm giving him a Bris of peace, and then also Bris Kunas Olam, the Bris of Kuna forever. Why did he deserve to have two rewards? Granted, he did a tremendous Maisel, but these are two huge rewards. Bris Shalom is that he lived for a very, very long time. Bris Kunas Olam is that he was a Kohen forever. What in the world are these two rewards? What kind of an idea is this? So to that, we have to understand a lot over here. Tosfos Bav Metzia, Kuf Yud Dalid Amid Aleph, brings a Tanit of Eliyahu. Okay, that's Tosfos in the same area where Rashi mentions Pinchas Eliyahu. Tosfos brings down this Tanit of Eliyahu. It says, which Shevet was Eliyahu Navi from? Was he from Shevet Rachel, meaning one of Rachel's children? Or is he from Shevet Leah's children?
Pinchas.
Okay. Very good. If he's Pinchas, he's automatically from Shevet Leah, because Pinchas is from Aaron. So Aaron is from Levi. Levi is from Leah. Right? So it will be obvious that he's from Leah. And in fact, there's a Gemara, very, very straightforward, that says that Pinchas was inside, Eliyahu Hanavi was inside of Issacharos. And they asked him, Lav Kohen Mar? And it's that, it's in Bava Metzia, Lav Kohen, aren't you a Kohen? How could you be in a Issacharos? And he answered them not by saying, I'm not a Kohen. He answered them by saying, you obviously didn't learn any Gemara, because Kivrei Akum Lo Mitamed. Kvarim of non-Jews are not metame a person. It's not how we paskin today, by the way. It's not how we paskin today. We paskin that if there's a dead body inside any museum, then a kohen can't go inside. There is tumas ohel by goyim. That's how we paskin. But Eliyahu Navi said there's no tumah by goyim, and therefore he's allowed to go inside. Mashma that he's a kohen. That's mashma that he's a kohen. However, when they asked him that question, Eliyahu Navi, because they were privy to being with Eliyahu, they asked him, "Are you from Shevet Levi? From Shevet Levi, Shevet Leah, or from Shevet Rachel? Are you from Rachel?" Children, he said, "Don't ask any questions. Animi bnei banav shel Rachel. I'm from the bnei banav of Rachel, seemingly from Shevet Binyamin."
Maybe his mother.
So that's the question is, why did he say that? If he's Pinchas, say straight out, I'm Pinchas. I've been around for a long time. I'm from Shevet Levi, and my mother was from Rachel Emanuel. But what does that mean that he's referring to something like this? So how do you would say that? So that's the problem. Says the Kedushas Levi. You can answer up Tosis's problem. Tosis doesn't answer the Kashi. He says, "I don't know. Could be from one, it could be from the other. I'm not so sure who he is." And so what, how do we end up knowing whatever it is? So here we go. "It seems that they're both true," says the Kedushas Levi. Levi Yitzchak says they're both true. How are they both true? And it's not mother-father. That's the easy way out. You never want to go the easy way out. Let's go sharp. What's the shot behind it? Okay. If a person sees someone else doing an Avera, if you see someone else doing an Avera, and you get up and you want to stop them from doing that Avera, and you get angry to the point where you're ready to stop them physically, that causes Midas HaDin to apply on that person and anyone else who does that. Midas HaDin means that that person is immediately punished from HaKadosh Baruch Hu in Shemayim. It might not be on earth. He might not get a physical punishment. But you say, "I can't believe that guy just did that. I can't believe that guy just stole money." That means there's a Midas HaDin that goes down on top of that person and says, "Oh, that guy made a kid a Chilul Hashem. He did something wrong." And when you say that out loud, it caused the kitruk, an accusation in Shemayim. That's what ends up happening. That's what it mentions on Brachos 55a, Nun Hayam and Aleph. It mentions that one of the last things you want to do is Moser Din Al Chavero. You never want to give a din on somebody else. And that's why Pirkei Avos says, Al Tadin Chavero Chal Ashitamu Bin Koma. Don't judge your friend until you're standing in his place, because you have no idea what's going on. And if you do judge him, and you judge him, and you say, "Oh, he's such a fool, he's such an idiot, I can't believe he did that," that din goes upon the guy in Shemayim. So even if he didn't deserve that punishment, he gets that punishment. I'm sorry?
I remember learning with you in the Sefer Shasharim, yeah. It's not like that.
You say what?
You're supposed to go up to him.
There's no question you have to give Moser. But to say out loud, "What is that guy doing?" and with anger, say, "How could that guy do it?" To go up to him and say, "Like, listen, that's not the right thing to do," that for sure, without a question. That you got to give tochacha. You got to say it in that way. But it, to go up to him and be angry and to say, "That guy is chayav misa," saying that, that one is not allowed to do according to this idea.
Why does Hashem take into account just because some fool decided that he's going to pass judgment from someone else? So God's going to pass
it. It's not. You're right. Why should HaKadosh Baruch Hu listen to such a person? Maybe there are people that HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't listen to. A Brits Kusa Lisfasayim. The lips of a person are very powerful. And if your lips say it, it could happen. And you don't want to be part of that. You don't want to be part of that entire idea. You should know, by the way, anybody who's punished due to something that you said or did, that person who did that din, who punished another person in Shemayim, is not allowed into the Mechitza of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He's not allowed in Olam Haba until that other, the person who was punished forgives him. That is a...
Well, could it be something that he was already inside of something and now that he just kind of brought it?
It could be. Yeah, it could be that. That you brought it into fruition. Yeah, it was rachamim from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay, I'll let him go this time. But this guy said it. He's like, "Okay, now I'm going to bring it down."
Just so while when he's about to do it. 100%.
Yeah, before, especially before. Especially before. If you can do it before so that he doesn't even do anything, for sure. No, never. You have to still act in the right way. You still have to act in the right way.
Then how come you didn't remain Kohen Gadol throughout the entire
time? Okay, well, hold on. We're going to have to get involved in what happened to Pinchas. But first, Pinchas was Zocha to go and do what he was supposed to do and get angry. But instead of bringing Midas HaDin, he brought Chassadim down to the world. The Medrash brings down that he was Mechaper for Bnei Yisrael. That's actually the pasuk by Yechaper al Bnei Yisrael. That he was Mechaper for Bnei Yisrael by killing Zimri. That's what he ended up doing. How did he do that? He threw Zimri and Cosby to the ground, speared them both, and he said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, "For these two people, you killed all of Klal Yisrael. For these two people that I just killed, you killed the rest of Klal Yisrael. What did Klal Yisrael do? By doing that, he brought rachamim to the rest of Bnei Yisrael and was mechaper for them. And for that, he gets two rewards. Number one, for killing Zimri, which was one thing that he was supposed to do, Zimri and Cusbi, for doing the act that they did. And number two, being mechaper for all of Bnei Yisrael and not causing Midasidin to come upon them. And thus, for those two reasons, he got two things. Number one, his reward is to get shalom. He killed somebody. Normally, the relatives of that person are ready to kill you. There's a goel adam. So number one, he gets a brick of shalom. Nothing bad will happen to you. Number two, you brought chesed down to the world. You will be a kohen. A kohen is known for bringing chesed into the world, for bringing more kindness and kadosh baruch hu down to the world through his birchas kohen, through his bringing korbanos. That's the reason why he's going to be there. That's why he was bisochum. He was amongst Kleisel, helping out Kleisel, and that's why he's part of Eliyahu. Eliyahu Navi comes to every bris. And if you go to a bris, did you know you're mechaper for all of your sins? Reb Aaron Karliner brings down, nobody knows his makor, his source for it, nobody has any idea. But Eliyahu Navi came down, it's a medrash brought by Reb Aaron Karlin. Nobody knows who this medrash is from. He says that the medrash says the following. Eliyahu Navi goes to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to him, your bracha is that you get to go to every bris in all of Klal Yisrael. Every bris, you have to be there. He says, Eliyahu. Eliyahu Navi says, I can't go. I'm a kanoi. I hate people. I absolutely hate people. If they're doing averos, I can't be there. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I'll give a kapara for every Jew that goes to a bris. That's Allah, says the Rav Aaron Karliner. You can go to a bris, and you can get a kapara automatically just by being around there, because Eliyahu Navi has to be there. And if Eliyahu Navi has to be there, you have an automatic kapara. Vayachaper al Bnei Yisrael. He's mechaper for all of Bnei Yisrael. So that's the pshat behind this entire idea. Really, Eliyahu came from Leah. Really, Eliyahu is Pinchas, and he came from Leah. However, says the Tanna of Eliyahu, Zesh ani Eliyahu, the lashon of the Tanna of Eliyahu is Zesh ani Eliyahu, ani bi bnei banav shel Rachel. The fact that I'm Eliyahu, I am from the grandchildren of Rachel. Meaning, when he had the kinnah, and he did the right thing, that's because at that moment, he had a spark within him from Rachel Yemenu. Rachel Yemenu also had kinnah, the tekane Rachel ba'achosa. But she had a good kinnah. She didn't give me this a din on Leah. She didn't allow Leah to be killed. She didn't say, well, Leah doesn't deserve these children. She never said that. She had a jealousy, l'shem shamayim. I also want to have shvatim. I also want to do something. And in fact, she gave Leah two more shvatim, Yisachar and Zvulun, after her kinnah. She gave them Yisachar. She gave her sister Yisachar and Zvulun. That's the right kinnah to have, to help out the rest of Klal Yisrael. That's what he meant. I have a spark that comes down. I can bring chesed down the same way Rachel Imenu was able to bring chesed down. And bracket, I'm going to put the following. Rachel Imenu stands for Malchus, which is the world of Nigla, the world which is Isgalius, something that's revealed in this world, which can be seen clearly in our world, and only a person like that can be allowed to punish somebody in our world without doing anything else. That's in brackets about who Rachel is. Pinchas knew he would lose his ability to be a Kohen. We all know, the guy gets up to do Berchus Kohen and he murdered somebody, even accidentally. You have to take him down. He is not allowed to do Berchus Kohen. You murdered somebody, you can't do the Avodah. So Pinchas himself knew he would not be able to do the Avodah if he killed Zimri. He would be disallowed from ever doing the Avodah ever again, and was willing to be Moser Nefesh. He was willing to be Moser all of that, not be a Kohen ever, not get the Kuna ever, as long as he killed Zimri. He was willing to do that. Thus he was rewarded. But that doesn't make any sense. He was rewarded to be a Kohen because he killed somebody? Killing somebody takes away your ability to be a Kohen. How does this make him a Kohen? How does that work? So he says, you're right. Normally you can't. Because kahuna stands for chesed. And if you kill somebody, that's midas adin. Even if you do it accidentally, that's midas adin. Midas adin and midas chesed don't work together. But if Pinchas did this out of chesed for Klal Yisrael, he was mechaper for Klal Yisrael, brought chasadim down to the world through this, says the Kedushas Levi, then he's allowed to go ahead and do this avodah. Then he'd be allowed to do avodah for the rest of his life. That's the pshat behind it. Okay, one other thing. Korach and Dothan and Aviram. You know, they get brought back. What happened to Korach? In Parshas Korach? What was his punishment? Swallow it up. Where do you see that? I did. Oh, it's always good. You didn't look it inside? You didn't look it inside? I did say there was going to be a Pentecost, right? So let's look at it again. It says, where is it? Batita Horses Pia. Batiba Osam. Osam is Dothan and Aviram. Osam, that's Batam and their houses. That's Kola Adam Ashila Korach. And all the men that belong to Korach. This Kolor Kosh and all the money. Then it says, "Vayirdu heim b'chol shalhem chayim sheola." They went down to Gehenna. Tchas lohem aharet. They covered them up. Vayozu mitoch hakol, and they were lost from the kol. Vakol yisrael shirsi v'osem nasu l'kol. They all ran away. Ki amru pendulino aharet. They were afraid of being swallowed up. The ishiyat meitz Hashem, and a fire went out from Hashem. Vatochol asachamishim wasayim ish makriv ektoris. It consumed the 250 men that were bringing ektoris. The fire went out and consumed them. Where's Korach? Where's Korach? Now, Om Ben Peles, we already know, isn't mentioned over here, because Om Ben Peles did tshuva due to his wife. Now we already know, and everyone knows that, right? His wife helped him. So what about Korach?
The Torah doesn't say that Om Ben Peles. He's just one of the groups. That...
Well, no, because Om Ben Peles is not in the beginning. He's not the 250. There was Korach, Dathan, Abiram, Om Ben Peles, and 250.
Right, but who's that? I mean... Moshe only called us an Aviram, so maybe he didn't call...
No, but the drasha is from Rashi. Rashi says in the beginning that that's why Om Ben Peles is mentioned. So we have a midrash that's brought down. It's even in a Gemara, Sanhedrin, a Kufay, that mentions that Om Ben Peles isn't there.
If you say that's corrupted Shuvah, then how could that even be?
No, for sure he didn't. For sure, you're right. There's no question. B'nai Korach did Shuvah. But Korach himself didn't happen. It's clear. It says in this week's parsha, Uvnei Aliyot, the children of Aliyot, Nimuel, that guy's got to have good times, Dathan v'Abiram. Who Dathan v'Abiram? This is Dathan v'Abiram, Kriel Eda, the famous people of the Eda. Asher Hitzu al Moshe v'al Aaron ba'agas Korach, that argued with Moshe and Aaron in the Eda of Korach ba'atzosim al Hashem when they argued with Hashem. Batita har to see, and the land opened up its mouth. Bativa osam v'es Korach. It swallowed up them and Korach, the Mosa Eda ba'achol ha'ish. When the Eda died, when the fire consumed this Chamisha Masayim Ish, the 250 men by Yulanes, and it became a miracle. So here it says clearly Korach was, I guess you could say, swallowed up. It doesn't say it over there, but it says it over here. Here's the question. Here's the question. It says, Batila or says, Piyavatiblo Osam as Korach, the Mosa Eda. When the Eda died. What does the Mosa Eda mean? Is that referring to the 250 men? Because no, it says right after that, Bachola Isha's Chamish Masayim Ish, when the 250 men were consumed by fire. Who's the Eda? What's this Eda that we speak of over here? Who are we talking about? It must be referring to the plague that happened the next day. The very next day, Bnei Yisrael woke up and they said, "Oh man, you're killing everybody." And God's like, "That's it." And there was a plague that went out and 14,000 people died. 14,000 people. What did Aaron do? Aaron brought the Ketores, ran out into the middle of them, burned the Ketores in the middle of everybody, and the Ketores stopped the plague. That's what happened afterward. And that happened, that's when they were swallowed up. That's not true. We just learned before that Dathan and Abiram were swallowed up before the 250 men died by fire, and that was the day before. They said this the day after they were already consumed by the ground and after they were consumed by fire. So what's going on here? What does this pasuk mean? Says the Chassam Sofer, brilliant. Again, the Chassam Sofer is always brilliant. There's nothing to talk about over here. Says the Chassam Sofer, it could be he was with the 250 men and he was burned, but he didn't die fully then. Maybe he died, right? Maybe he was completely consumed, but he definitely wasn't buried. And maybe he was even buried, says the Chassam Sofer. Maybe he was even buried. But either way, the next day, when the Eda complained, and they brought anger down to the world, HaKadosh Baruch Hu got angry again at the instigator. Who was the instigator? Korach. What happened to Korach? He was swallowed up by the ground, either after he was already buried, or the fact that he was just burning on the ground, or now that he still wasn't dead yet. He was swallowed up by the ground. He was in a tremendous amount of pain, and the next day, when anger was burned to the world, that's when he was swallowed up. That's why we mentioned it over here, but not over there. Because mentioning Korach over there still doesn't make any sense. He's not really part of the burners. He's not really part of the people that were swallowed up. He's not really part of the other people who were killed the next day, the 14,000 people in the plague. He's got his own death. He was involved in all three. Part of the burning, part of the plague, part of the swallowing up on the ground. All three apply to Korach. That's the concept. That's why, because his death was unique. He was completely different. And that's why it says, Vativ Torah says, Pia Vativ Lo Sum, V'es Korach, V'a Mosa Edo, V'achola Ish. He was also consumed by fire. There were both things that happened to him at the exact same time. That's the concept behind it. B'nai Korach were not fooled. Why weren't B'nai Korach fooled? Dathan and Abiram tried to make themselves sound good. They got up and they said, Lo Na'ale. We're not going to go up. So that sounds bad, right? They were trying to be anavim, humble people. Lo Na'ale. We don't deserve to go up to such high levels. Learn that lesson.
Sounds like the opposite. Sounds like it sucks, but like Moses calling us, we're not going.
No, we don't deserve it. We're already in Nidoy from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You excommunicated us, Moshe Rabbeinu. Once the Meraglim, the spies, happened, we're not allowed to go to Eretz Yisrael. Lo Nale, even if you allow us to go to Eretz Yisrael, we're not going up, Moshe Rabbeinu. They tried to make themselves sound good by saying, no, we're in Cherem. We're going to stay in Cherem for the rest of our lives. But even if you call us up and tell us to go, we're still not going to go. That was the concept that they brought up, and that's what they said. Therefore, oh, you think you're such an oven? They're brought down to the nethermost depths to show that their humility was a massive fake. It was a massive fake. They didn't really mean it. They meant lo nala in the way that it sounds like in the pulse. We're not going up. You're not good enough to take us into Eretz Yisrael. So they're brought down to the lowest depths. The 250, on the other hand, had gaiva. So they were burned and went straight up to Shemayim. They had gaiva thinking that they were good enough to bring that fire, to bring that ketores. They went up straight to Shemayim. That's the concept of what ended up happening over here. You know where the concept of reading Koheles on Sukkot comes from? You know where it's brought down from? I just read this year for the very first time. 70 cows are brought on Sukkot. It's the end of the parsha. It keeps repeating itself. It's very easy to read through. 70 cows are brought. Right in the first day, there are 13. Second day is 12. Third day is 11. And it keeps going down. 13 plus 12 plus 11 plus 10. Keeps going all the way down, right? Until you get to 7. If you count it all together, it ends up being 70 cows. The 70 cows are brought for the 70 nations of the world. So in the future and in the past, when the 70 nations wanted to bring a korban, they were involved with those 70 cows. And that's what ended up giving them everything. Okay, they got everything they got. Okay, Shlomo, when the other nations of the world came by to bring these korbanos, Shlomo instituted a practice. Guys, I don't want you to leave without listening to any bit of Torah. But he couldn't teach them Torah. Mishpatim bal yedu'um. You're not allowed to tell them mishpatim. So what are we going to do? How are we going to teach them anything? What should we do? So he told them, I'm going to give you guys wisdom. And he gave them the Megillas Koheles. He read Koheles for all the nations of the world during Chol HaMoed when they were bringing the 70 cows. And we continue to read it throughout the generations. The king would read it to the people on Chol HaMoed. It's teaching them something that's a little bit different. Koheles is a very strange thing. It's about how the world is full of nothing and you should work on spirituality. It's a different type of limud. It is Torah, and that's 100% true. But it's a different type of spirituality type of thing. That's why there's no mention of Hashem's name in all of Koheles. Koheles only mentions Shem Elohim, but not Yud Kei Vav Kei, because Shem Elohim applies by non-Jews. Shem Yud Kei Vav Kei applies only to us.
How come Sfarim don't have a Samsara?
I have no idea. They're not Jewish? I don't know. Oh no, they're not Jewish. They still would. No, they should even have it even more. I would assume you guys are more Jewish. That's what it ended up being. I have absolutely no idea. That's an interesting call altogether. But then Nitziv brings that down. He says that's the reason for why we do it. Guys, we'll end with that. Have a great Shabbat. Everything should